Thank you, Tarita. Great, okay. So I'm going to be talking about work, context of work. I've got kind of a loose kind of title, which is called Integrating Work Well. I did have an alternate title, which was something like The Right Livelihood, The Direct Path to Suffering. But we've been doing work too well. But the conclusion was I do quite like my context, so I better stick to the first one. So I'm going to talk a bit about my work context. It was interesting thinking about this theme actually, and how I'd explore it, because a lot of the things that were coming up for me, and a lot of the things that I've done in my life, has kind of come out of my practice, my ongoing practice. But it was interesting because it wasn't as clear where that was coming from. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk a little bit about, I suppose, my background and my journey. And then what I'll do is hopefully chip in on direct kind of practices or shifts or things that I think has kind of made that happen. So Tony was just saying there, so my own work life was very much in the world. So I've run a business for quite a while. I'm used to kind of being at the kind of front. I went to university. I did kind of a traditional educational route. I kind of dropped out of university. I had my first kind of taste of what's it all about type kind of moment in university, and dropped out. And so I did a very much kind of a self-taught, self-learned, self-created business and work life in the area that I was interested in, which was computers, web development, software development. Recently, about 2.5 years ago, I had my first child. My daughter was born, and that happened to be a pivotal point where I was able to come into contact with Dharma Chakra, a right livelihood-based business within the movement, and I decided to commit myself to working within that context. So that's a little bit about my timeline. Just a quick thing, talking about kind of the context or the kind of conditions that we have. I mean, I was very grateful that this kind of context exists. So I was very fortunate that Tree Ratna exists. I was very fortunate that this Dharma Chakra would be going for 10, 15 odd years, built up a lot of kind of practice, specifically within working in work, so not kind of the abstract kind of, you know, Buddhist practices, but actually working in daily life. So I was able to take advantage of that. And one of the things that I suppose was quite important to me is that as I practiced, I realized that I was becoming more and more aware that my work, part of me, this work will, was actually fairly dominant in my life. So this is where I was thinking, how did I practice in the world, or what was I doing to practice in the world, or practice in my spiritual life to take in the world. What happened for me, a lot of my practice, my meditation practice, my reflection practice, my discussions, I started to become aware of a part of my life that actually had quite a lot of suffering involved in it. And I was just interested thinking about suffering, or dukkha as it's kind of translated, because it wasn't, for me, it wasn't really a big, massive amount of suffering. It wasn't like a really big incident. It was more like suffering in the terms of like that itch, or that type of like that, like either there's something more, or I wasn't quite satisfied with something, or I started noticing stuff that was going on in my day-to-day. So I started noticing like aspects of grasping, aspects of tightening, aspects of searching. And what I started to do when these kind of arose, as I started to actually try and investigate, trying to sit with what was going on, basically. A big part of my background, I've got a very classic kind of Protestant work ethic from my dad, so it's like, you know, you got to work very hard, you've got to suffer to get the rewards, you've got to like put in lots of hours. And I've also had this, because of this kind of, this crisis period within my kind of A-levels, I was kind of always pushed to go to university, pushed to kind of do well. I was capable of getting a degree, this type of stuff. So I very much had this conditioning, I think quite positive conditioning from my family to take that route. As I spiraled out of that route, which I won't go into, wound up in professional cage fighting as a bit of a detailed career, but I won't go into that today. But when I come back from that a few years later, and as I said, started my own business, there was something in this period where this kind of work will started to evolve. This characteristic side of myself started to evolve. And sitting with this, sitting with my mind, sitting with my bodily responses throughout the day, what became clear in a way was that I wanted to show that I was of worth. I wanted to show that I was capable. I wanted to show there was kind of a little bit of like a kickback from actually not getting my degree, not doing my work. And I kind of had, this part of me that was kind of, well, what happened first of all is I wasn't really paying it much attention. So a lot of stuff when I started into work, it was kind of very much this kind of not really thinking about it too much. You know, it's work, you've got to get money, you've got to pay the bills, you've got to, you know, do this stuff. So I was definitely, there was a part of me that was actually on autopilot as well. So as I become more and more aware, this work will started to form. And as I say, there was kind of this part of my work will wants to have approval, wants to kind of seek this kind of worth or a place, you know, in society. That was an interesting one as well. Be of use, utility. So work will is very much the utilitarian kind of side of me in terms of like, you know, I need to be of use. So I explored a lot of that, and that was it's interesting because it wasn't anything that I would specifically do in my work context. I think a lot of it was stuff that was naturally arising throughout my work life. And stuff that I would reflect on and just try and become aware of. What happened at the same time? I started to notice one of the things that I've become more and more aware of recently is this kind of notion that actually I've got a lot of selves and I'm quite kind of unintegrated. And one of the things that rose up, probably again from when I was very young, was this kind of like spiritual will, this Buddhist will, this other kind of aspect of myself. What happened as I practiced a bit more, or as I was just generally going through my daily life, they would actually start to wrestle a bit. They'd actually start to. It was interesting because. This kind of Buddhist world, this kind of spiritual world, actually felt like it had a lot more depth to this kind of work world. And another thing that started happening was, as I was going out my throughout my work life. There was definitely lots of habits, lots of things I would do, a lot of interactions that I would do in work, where I'd be quite competitive. You know, that's kind of aspect of work. Will is quite competitive. He doesn't want to appreciate the moment. He's always looking for how to improve, how to go forward, how to get to the next step. And again, this was causing me a lot of suffering, a lot of conflict, because this other aspect of me, this bigger side of me, was not happy with that. Not happy with that. And all this was going on throughout the day, going on throughout my work life. I had to deal with it, really. So, there's been a few differences, I suppose, between my work life before Right Livelihood and outside Right Livelihood in certain conditions. One of the things I found that I was doing in work life more and more is I would actually start to hide parts of myself. So this kind of this kind of aspect that wanted to talk about kind of deeper stuff, I was suppressing a lot more in work. I felt like there was tension growing. And it was funny, I also felt like I started to feel like I was a bit of like the pain in the bum everywhere, because I would be the one who's like, oh, but is this really ethical? Is this really the right thing to do? if you haven't got a particular context where that's held, that can get a bit painful. And also it can be quite energy depleting. You kind of like, oh, here we go again, I've got to kind of stand up for this kind of side of me. It's kind of a mixed thing, because what I didn't want to do is I didn't want to paint this rosy picture of before Right Livelihood, massive suffering, after Right Livelihood, no suffering, which I'll come into a bit. That's absolutely not the case for different reasons. There's kind of glimmers. There's been very good interactions with, but there's always one or two people I find in my work life who really resonate with that, actually, and kind of think, they're taking the time to kind of talk about this bigger context, and particularly if you've got a good team around you. But I was trying to particularly look at my own work life, and one of the things that actually happened in my particular context, IT and software development, it's quite difficult to hold that. It's quite difficult to hold that energy. It's quite a logical. It can be quite a logical workplace. It can be quite a competitive and intellectual type of workplace. So it was very difficult to find the context for that. And so what happened, as I say, I had my daughter was born, and I decided to take a bit of time off, and again not going into all this kind of reason, but I was fortunate enough to have the conditions to support my partner to be able to switch into working with Right Livelihood, and I was able to take a pay cut, change my conditions, go into that environment. So what I want to talk about in terms of this environment is, well, one thing I just want to reiterate is, Right Livelihood is not a classic view of working in a second-hand shop, working in a cafe. There's all kind of classic Right Livelihood. Whenever I say that I work for a charity, you get this thing of, oh, I'd love to work in a relaxing environment all day. Wouldn't it be great? I don't know what images they've got of me kind of lighting incense and kind of, meditating for 4 hours a day and then doing a little bit of software. But no, I work very much in just a normal business. We build software now, we build websites, we keep a lot of the movement sites. I think there's about 120 sites around the world which kind of rely on us kind of keeping them going. And so there's quite a bit of pressure and it's quite technical work, so it's not, you know, it's not kind of relaxing work in that way. And a few things arose out of this process. One of the things is, one of the things that I decided to do, made a conscious decision, is with this work well, what I wanted to do to integrate it into my kind of bigger practice is I wanted to kind of change the conditions for him. I wanted to kind of make the conditions a bit more kind of radical in a way for him. And this has been my experience of Right Livelihood, my experience of changing the conditions is that it's not been easy, and this work well has kicked up a massive fuss along the way. So I'm just gonna share a little bit about what's happened, and again, my continuing practice really is to try and be aware of what's happening, reflect on what's happening, and keep this in mind. So one of the things that happened is when I started working for a Right Livelihood is the talk about kind of salary was an interesting one, because what generally happens in these contexts is the question is, what do you need? You know, so I'm coming on board with Dharma Chakra, and they're saying, well, what do you need, you know, in your life? And then I could feel it, right? Like work, you know, work wills, like, that's not how it works. Just look at the going rate, look at the, you know, the average salary. You know, I want at least 10% more than that plus years experience. And so it was very straight away. There was a tension. You know, there was a tension that I had to kind of deal with, that sit with. What does all this mean? The other thing that was quite good about this process is it involves communication with my family. You know, so it involves communication with Michelle, you know, saying, okay, what do we need? Sitting down, a whole process of working out what we need, kind of. That in itself is a little bit liberating, because I also noticed along the way is how much that work will likes to kind of not keep itself separate, but again, it likes his environment. So in a work environment, it's great, it can thrive, it can kind of posture up, it can kind of, you know, do its thing. When it's kind of, when you're trying to talk about this in a family environment, it's kind of squirming a bit, because there's kind of someone, there's people that you care about, it kind of starts to rear up and doesn't like it, and kind of, you know, has all this type of effect on it. And I found that was very beneficial for me, loosening this kind of the tightness around that. The other thing that's kind of happened for me in a way, which happens with Right Livelihood and charity works, is I went from a team of kind of 60 to 100 people in my last kind of in the world job to kind of 4 at the moment, and I went from being able to direct a lot of these people to being directed. And again, there's a struggle there. What I have to do is I kind of have to do what needs to be done. You know, it's quite a radical shift. And these things, what I've noticed is you can't hide from them. This is a benefit, I think, of being in a particular Right Livelihood context, because again, it's not so much kind of relaxed, and people won't let you get away with things, actually, which is quite nice. So they'll inquire and they'll ask and they'll kind of pick you up on these things, and they'll be willing to kind of engage in communication of, like, you know, what's happening here, you know, And at the same time, there's support for kind of there's support for this kind of journey, this ongoing kind of process. So another thing that I found with this kind of shift in context is I try to have a mixture of seemingly negative points and positive points. One of the things that's radically changed in my life, which I'm very grateful for, is every day is kind of a reminder of this kind of this bigger self, this integration. So I spend a lot of time in work. Spend a lot of time, doing work. Sure, lots of people do it in a context where you're of use. And what happens is that massively kind of affected my habits and practices. Now every day when I'm kind of in work and I'm kind of helping a website come up, and I'm linked to a tree retina centre that's maybe in America or maybe in other parts of the globe, it's this little kind of trickle of reminder every day of what I'm doing, what I'm practicing, and what I'm trying to go towards. And another thing that was particular for me is, and particularly with my mindset, I have this mindset that I can technically do it. I'm kind of, I can kind of push through with my practice. But it's been amazing how these little tiny things have kind of really, really transformed and kept me in focus. And I think that's about it, really. That's about it. I'm going to talk about my practice and where I'm at. It's definitely an ongoing thing. It's an ongoing process. What I have noticed already is this kind of work will and these Buddhist will, spiritual will, they're actually in communication and they're starting to talk to each other. So that's nice in itself, and I look forward to see how that continues in the future. Mm-hmm. Yeah.